From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Afghan voters go to the polls in just 2 days for the country's first democratic presidential election. Remnants of the Taliban and other Islamist extremists have vowed to do everything in their power to disrupt the voting. But there's a general consensus among observers that the greater threat to Afghanistan's fledgling democracy comes from its warlords, regional militia commanders who wield nearly unchallenged power in their provincial fiefdoms. We have two reports today contrasting the fortunes of two of the best-known warlords, Ismail Khan in the west and Abdul Rashid Dostum in the north. First, NPR's Philip Reeves in the western city of Herat.
Afghanistan's elections being billed as an experiment in democracy, the first chance for the people to choose their leader. But in this part of the wild and war-battered landscape, the real power brokers to be found in a vine-covered gazebo in the rose garden of his mansion. He's entirely in white, from his large beard to his worry beads. Ismail Khan, former governor of the western province of Herat, known to his followers as His Excellency the Emir, is surrounded by adoring acolytes. One follower leaps to his feet to recite a poem in Khan's honor. Others nod in agreement, some wiping away tears. Death to anyone who calls our emir a warlord, cries this man. However, plenty of people do call Khan a warlord. Khan belongs to a loose group of Afghan Mujahideen commanders who, with American support, fought the Soviets and the Taliban and, in the ensuing vacuum, built themselves personal fiefdoms. Herat lies on a key trade route into Afghanistan from neighboring Iran, part of the ancient Silk Road. As governor, Khan controlled it, shoring up his power base by refusing to transfer to Kabul most of the fortune collected in customs duties. 4 weeks ago, interim president Hamid Karzai sacked him. Instead, Khan was offered a junior minister's position, which he rejected. Observers say he's holding out for a more powerful portfolio, such as defense. In the meantime, he's flexing his muscles. We'll only vote for someone our emir votes for, says the man. Khan's built a career on throwing sand in the gears of more powerful forces, first the Soviets, then the Taliban, and now Karzai. He says he's thinking of telling his people which candidate to support in the elections. He's been coy about who, but his supporters are not. Long live Kanuni, they cry. Like Khan, Yunis Kanuni, the former education minister, is a Tajik and an associate from the Mujahideen days. He's Karzai's strongest challenger in the election. Khan's in no doubt his followers would vote for whomever he chooses.
That's natural. Whoever is named by me, most people will vote for him. But now we don't want to use any name because we want the elections to be free.
Then he contradicts himself, saying he just might name someone if the election goes to a second round, or even sooner.
Maybe we will use somebody's name even before that.
But it's not clear how many people would actually obey voting orders from Khan. Many Afghans insist otherwise. 25-year-old Khalid Ahmed works in a mobile phone shop.
No. I would not accept that, because this is my personal decision, and nobody can impose any decision on me.
In this, the young man, strikingly similar to Khan himself. As he basks in the admiration of his followers, the self-proclaimed Emir of Herat also says he won't take orders from anyone.
Throughout my life, nobody has managed to impose an order on me. And I'm sure that nobody can impose anything on me. Because one of the principles of a struggler is to not give up to something, to things that are being imposed on him.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Kabul.
This is Rachel Martin. As the sun sets over the northern town of Shibrgan, General Abdul Rashid Dostum parades around his horse stables, inspecting each of his 18 steeds. The 49-year-old warlord says horses have carried Afghanistan to victory against its enemies for generations, so he's chosen the horse as his symbol on the presidential election ballot. Stopping in front of a white stallion, he recounts how he rode this horse into battle against the Taliban in the U.S.-led war of 2001. Then he points to a black horse bucking violently in a corner of the stable as grooms try to control it. If I am like the white horse, he says, brave and courageous, this horse is like Al-Qaeda. Dostum is the leader of Afghanistan's ethnic Uzbek minority. He's been the dominant figure in the north for the better part of two decades, ruling his fiefdom with an iron fist. Now he's trying to shake the warlord image and reinvent himself as a peace-loving, democratic presidential contender. He says if he wins the election, he'll get rid of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban within 6 months and make the whole of Afghanistan just as safe as he's made the north. Human rights experts say that relative stability has come at the expense of civil and political rights. John Sifton from the New York-based Human Rights Watch says Dostum has a long history of human rights abuse.
When people think of warlords, they think of men like General Dostum, men who have served in military factions for most of their adult lives and done nothing more than fight. And now, as these men, like Rashid Dostum, attempt to refashion themselves as governors, as technocrats, as democrats, most Afghans are skeptical.
Aji Nasir is a 54-year-old shopkeeper in Mazar-i-Sharif, the main city in the north. He has lived through decades of war and destruction, and he blames much of it on warlords like Dostum.
I will give the vote for the person who brings us security and peace, and I'm not going to vote for the warlord or the fighters.
According to human rights reports, Dostum's troops looted, raped, and murdered scores of Afghan civilians during the civil war of the 1990s. But Dostum's spokesman, Faisal Zaki, says the commander is being misrepresented.
He has done nothing wrong during the wars. He has fought for freedom of his country, for its independence, for saving his country from the reign of international terrorists who had turned Afghanistan to a center of terror and narco business and evil, so to say.
Dostum has rallied significant support for his presidential bid. Thousands of people have shown up at his rallies in the north, and he has dozens of campaign offices around the country. But human rights experts say many Afghans in the north are being coerced into backing Dostum. John Sifton from Human Rights Watch says although Dostum is a long shot to win the race, he may end up with enough votes to bargain for a position in the new government. Sifton says that will only make the government weaker than it already is.
Afghanistan's not going to have a civil war this year, and probably not next year either. But if these men cement their hold on power now, it's a very real possibility that in a couple of years, when international attention has shifted away from Afghanistan and a political crisis comes up for whatever reason, these men will once again, as they did 10 years ago, resort to civil war to settle their differences.
For NPR News, I'm Rachel Martin.